There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. Away we go. FM Talk 106.5. And there we go. Press the right buttons there, and it's time for Midday Mobile. There we go. I got it. How are we sounding? Good? All right. All things are good. Live from the Western Command Center in West Mobile County for the show today. And same as always, though. Phone number is the same, and text line is the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Also, if you use the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us one of those talk pack messages, but we'll talk more about that in just a little bit, because we start with our friend from the star of stage and screen, recorded music, and dad to five. It's my buddy Cameron Smith. Read his work in the Tennessean. Listen to his music where, Cameron? Just everywhere? I mean, it was everywhere in my house the other day.
Yeah, anywhere you go and you want to hear about Santa getting deported, just search for it. It'll be there. Wasted Bacon. Catch the Fever.
Oh, is that the new? I didn't know that was the slug line. Catch the Fever.
Yeah, I'm trying out everything, Sean. That's the advantage of having managing a band like Wasted Bacon. A lot of marketing flexibility here.
There's always options. All right. A lot to talk about today here at the end of the year. I mean, I thought we were going to do, and maybe I will do a little retrospective of the news cycle of 2025 with you before we round out. But if you turn on Fox News right now, I do not have it on, but I bet you a game here. You could turn on Fox News and the word Minnesota is on the screen somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere in Minnesota, there is a child not in daycare because that daycare is not real. And apparently that was so shocking to everyone. We can't stop talking about it. I got to be honest, the GAO, Government Accountability Office, talks about us being the United States federal government wasting as much as $500 billion a year in improper payments. So it's always funny for me when we have these reporting exposés that say there's fraud in government payments, to which I reply, absolutely. And the problem is we spend so much money we can't track it. So let's not act like Minnesota's the problem. It's the federal government.
Well, it takes a supplier, you know, a demand and a supply in that for that money. I will say, nice thing is, I guess Louisiana's, you know, and now Alabama are saying, or New Jersey are saying, well, at least we're not Minnesota for corruption. But the daycare part of it is one thing, but we are talking about a fraud that we know goes on in a lot of places, but here maybe they have the receipts. Maybe that's what, I mean, I know the daycare thing was one thing, but the rest of it, This amount of fraud is, with being able to prove it, is what Americans have been wanting for. It's what we wanted when DOGE came in.
Yeah, we can prove it. The receipts are there. I mean, this is the problem. This is one instance. But across the board, the issue is it's just a lot of work. And we prosecute people for fraud. The Biden administration had prosecuted some folks in Minnesota for fraud. The problem is doing it at scale. And doing it not just in Minnesota, but everywhere. Yeah, the receipts are there. Yes, we should go after them. Yes, it's a great idea to freeze these payments until we figure out exactly what's going on. But we have to start asking some really uncomfortable questions like, hey, this is a nerdy project that costs lots of money. Where's the money going? These I pulled it up just yesterday, and you're in luck because I have it on my laptop right now talking about these advanced premium tax credits, okay? The GAO, these are the ones that have been so controversial, right? The GAO submitted fictitious applicants to the marketplace for these credits. For planning
so the
2025.
The GAO did that?
Yes, the Government Accountability Office saw there's a fraud risk with the advanced premium tax credit. So we need to make sure that this isn't a real problem. For plan year 2025, of 20 fictitious applicants, that means they do not exist. Of 20 fictitious applicants, 18 remain actively covered as of September 2025. The advanced premium tax credit for those 18 enrollees totals over $10,000 per month. Now, I understand that is a drop in a very, very, very large bucket, but the government is literally enrolling fake applicants for this advanced premium tax credit, and it's telling the rest of the government, hey, fraud is really easy here, and yet we're still doing it.
Yeah, it's like, and can GAO, are they just reactive or proactive? I mean, in other words, there'll be a member of Congress calling the GAO for a report on this, that, or the other. Could the GAO just do their own thing and say, hey, we're holding a press conference, and the press conference is, here's how we looked at 18 out of 20 fictitious accounts still getting paid here. You know what I'm saying? Like, have their own, get the cameras on them and do their own presser.
So, yes, the answer is yes, they can. But typically, their constituency is Congress. They are doing this, and they're issuing these reports, and they're testifying in Congress and saying, hey, guys, this is a problem. It's deeply unsexy stuff, right? $10,000 a month is not, in the trillions we spend at the federal government, a lot of money. But buried in these reports are truly shocking things. And, yes, when we see it on Fox News and it's sort of spoon-fed to us, it's very easy to see. But the problem here is that members of Congress are not doing their jobs. GAO is going to them and saying, guys, here's a significant problem. And they're just ignoring it and saying, well, that's not sexy. I'm going to go talk about my feelings on Fox News. And until that changes, we're going to continue to have these problems with fraud, with malfeasance, with improper payments. Improper payments, there may not be any fraud. It may just be we paid somebody more than we should because of pure incompetence. But when you look at the fraud and improper payments combined, you're looking at as much as $500 billion a year that's just going poof.
Yeah, you would think here. So, I mean, this is Doge stuff. This is Doge country. I don't know where Doge is anymore. You know, as an entity, this would be this around government. I would say maybe Doge comes in and says, hey, we know that Congressman or Senator so-and-so had a briefing from the GAO that told him X, Y, and Z. Hey, Senator, why haven't you commented on that? Or something, you know what I'm saying? Some kind of way to push them, because you're saying they're getting the information from the GAO, but elected members of Congress are not then taking that and going and at least giving a speech on the floor to be on record.
Yeah, and I'll give a good example. The one guy who basically pointed me to GAO constantly was Representative Gary Palmer. He is one of the few members I know that knows the head of the GAO, Gene Dodaro, and their friends. And he's constantly perusing these reports, and he sees this information, he talks about it, but it's not sexy, right? The Minnesota fraud, deeply sexy. This kind of stuff, not sexy, so it's just ignored. And until folks like you and me and the average voters in Alabama say, guys, this is out of control, the spending's the problem, shut it down, stop. Until we do that, this is going to keep happening, and it's just going to get worse.
All right, let's do some retrospective on 2025, the year that was. It's amazing. I was looking at something the other day. You know, all the sites want to put up here's the top stories by month and all that. And it's been less than a year since President Trump was inaugurated. That one blew me away. I mean, I knew it academically. It just feels like more than a year.
Yes, it feels like 37 years because Trump is all the media can talk about. He is enraged them and excited Republicans. And for me, I think the the biggest stories here are the what I'll call the K-shaped growth curve. So I couldn't figure out why Trump and Republicans are talking about how great the economy is, and Democrats are talking about the soul-crushing nature of affordability. And then I started looking at the economics. And what's happening is, if you own your home, if you have a stock portfolio, you are super happy with the Trump economy right now. There's a lot of things that are really positive. If you're an average consumer, you're probably pretty happy with gas prices right now. So that's
yeah. Who doesn't love $2.20 a gallon or less?
Yeah, I mean, it's I've seen it as low as $2.09 here in Tennessee. I mean, we're talking, it is really getting folks' attention. Then on the other side, the efficiencies that have been gained that have allowed a lot of these market growth haven't created a lot of job opportunities. And so what I mean by that is companies are essentially doing more with less. They're sort of squeezing mm-hmm. out the bottom line. And so for folks that are looking for job opportunities, students coming into the job market because of advances in AI, efficiency gains for companies, they're finding it very hard and they're not real happy with the economy. And so I think that dichotomy of people looking at the same economy and being really, really happy or really, really down about it, they're true simultaneously. And I think that's a huge story for 2025 and probably the biggest story going into 2026 of figuring out those disaffected folks who feel like the economy is not working for them. What are politicians, particularly Republicans, going to do to say, we see you, it's not just gas and eggs. We're going to create opportunity for you. We're going to give you a path to success. And I think that's a big one, man.
Yeah, and you distill that down well for the way so many of us will, you know, one texter will say how horrible the economy is, or this is unaffordable, that. And then there's others that go, seems okay. I mean, yeah, eggs and milk are a little bit more. But like you said, if you own your home, if you have a stock portfolio, if you invest out there, it seems good. But you're right. If you don't do either of those things, it seems like it's not working for you.
Yeah. So that the economic story on the macro level is one of the big ones. The other ones that jumped out to me this year, I think the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
I think that's the biggest.
Yeah. There's no way not to look at that and say, wait a minute. Like the politics of the moment culminated in a young, very, very bright conservative mind being assassinated. I mean, that's our politics kind of led, and people could say, well, you know, you still need to know not to kill people stuff. Well, the problem is when you call people fascists and Nazis and do all this stuff and you do it over time, it gives them sort of the mental excuse, particularly people that are disconnected, disaffected, struggling. They can see this as an okay option. Huge story, awful thing. But I think the biggest takeaway from it is we need to, one, mind our rhetoric. Two, don't let it get to this point. I mean, we get things start getting heated. We start disagreeing. Let's be human first and then talk about our politics.
Good stuff, Cameron. As always, I appreciate it. Reminder to folks, anywhere you can stream a song, you can stream Wasted Bacon. Is that fair?
Yeah, and there's got to be some kind of laughter in 2026. Start with Wasted Bacon. I can tell you we're going to release another album that's going to be an actual serious effort at AI Music so we can talk about some of this stuff. And it's going to be real interesting in 2026. I'm looking forward to it.
Good stuff, Cameron. Happy New Year to you and the family, and we'll talk soon.
Talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes, Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
To Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, live from the Western Command Center here, West Mobile County. What's up, Tanner Williams? What's up, Seven Hills? And we'll get your phone calls and text at 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by, well, this is perfect, too. My buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. New Year's resolution time. You've been working on them, thinking about them. Go tonight, you'll be like, I'm not going to. Well, if you say, I'm not going to have junk around the house anymore, here's how to get your New Year's resolution started off right. Go ahead and make that call. Set the appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It can be junk at your house, office, storage unit, out on the front porch, I don't know, out in the backyard. Big stuff, too, not just smaller stuff. They take down above-ground pools, storage buildings, giant trampolines, all that kind of stuff. They do that every day. They can do it for you as well, so make that call or go online. Either way, the name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, on the telephone or on the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll find a day that works for you, a time that works for you. You set an appointment, and they meet you there. All you got to do is point at the junk you want gone. So check it out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK on the telephone and 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com on your Tandy computer. All right, to the text line here. First up, Don said, good afternoon, Sean. Again, wishing you and your family, staff, and their families a very blessed, happy, safe, welcoming of a new year, our Lord willing. After listening to your show with Bryant Knight, and the incredible story of God's intervention in the quest of Team Fight or Die, then the recovery of the Whoopi, a thought came to me last night about where she should rest after her three-year journey. After restoration, we should build a trailer where we can transport her, perhaps following the U.S. Veteran Wall Memorial across her great nation. Her home base, Battleship Park, perhaps we can start a GoFundMe page for this very thing, supported by your listeners and others who support this mission that Bryant has been called to do. Then once a year at the Dolphin Island Rodeo, you can tow her behind the 1065 Mobile Command Center, then put her on display for the world to see her and invite Bryant to share the story of her story of survival with the world on Friday night. Happy New Year, my friend. Well, Happy New Year to you, Don. And that GoFundMe page for the restoration of the Whoopi is there. The link is up if you'll go to Fight or Die, and that's Fight and then O-A-R, because rowing team, Fight or Die. On Facebook, you'll find it. There's a link to the GoFundMe page there so you can get on board. So it's already happening, Don. All right. Damn Yankee said, if hundreds don't go to jail and thousands don't get deported in Minnesota, the future of the United States is over. I think they've made what, 80 or 90 arrests now in Minnesota. And then, of course, there's the secondary question. What does this mean? They're calling, there's some people calling for Governor Walz to resign over this. He's up for re-election soon, so we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, I think they probably will hit that 100 number for sure. Let's see. Fire Dog. I have a picture from the Chevron near my house on the day Trump left office. Gas was $1.64. Man, I don't mean to turn the show into, like, old man show, but it wasn't recently, but within the last month or two, I was talking to some of my older child's friends, and they said something about gas prices. I said, back when I was your age and a freshman at the University of Alabama, it was 97 cents a gallon. You know, it doesn't seem like that long ago to them. I mean, it might as well have been, you know, pre-Revolutionary War, but I mean, I remember sub dollar. We're never going to be there again. All right. Let's see. Michael. Let's see which one's first here. Michael, I got to catch up. Just said, okay, Michael texts in, I just watched a wonderful geriatric woman going the opposite direction in our new roundabout at McGregor. Luckily, she was only stuck in the circle for two rounds. So she's in the roundabout going the wrong way? Well, isn't that fun? Isn't that fun, Michael? Michael goes on, also, I want the news to stop telling people to shoot up in the air. Also, I want the news to stop telling people to shoot up in the air. It gives me a few roofing repairs each month. Here's a picture from one on Monday. He shows the slug holding it in his hand. I told you that story, right, Michael? That one roofing job I ever did down on Mount Island and off Mount Island. And we were doing that summer and found a slug in the roof, in the plywood, went through the shingles into the plywood. Yeah, we'll get to that story when we have time, as NPD is telling people, hey, you can legally shoot fireworks, so don't pop off a few rounds tonight for New Year's Eve. So, all right, coming right back. Erica Thomas joins us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, live at the Western Command Studio here at West Mobile County. And check in on the other side of the bay, down on the south end of the county, I think, unless she's traveling. It's our friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com.
Howdy, Sean. Yeah, I'm back in Baldwin County after the Christmas break, staying warm indoors and hoping for a wonderful new year.
Yeah, it's a lot better indoor. I mean, it was cold out there this morning. Stayed out in the frosty air, and then came on in, left the deer alone long enough to come and do a radio show. So I'm glad you could make some time for me.
Yeah, of course. I said, you know, we're not even having a meeting at 1819 News today, but I will meet with my buddy Sean because
there's so much going on. Yeah, there is, and I get some review of the year from you as well. But I want to point out too that your boss there, he was his whole show saying, "Well, I guess we're just off on Friday." Like he wasn't happy with the fact that we're going to run specialty programming on Friday, but he did cancel y'all's meeting today. So I don't know. I don't know which side of I don't know where Jeff is. If he's trying to just make it seem rough on me, or he is really upset with the Friday thing.
Sounded excited about Friday, and I think Friday we should be off because that is my birthday, and so maybe we can get that day off too.
Oh, a January birthday.
Yes, a new year, a new age. Oh yeah.
Well, that's good. It's easy to keep up with it then.
It is. It's easy to keep up with everything, like my driver's license. Everything always needs to be renewed, at the beginning of the year, so it's perfect, really.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to pitch a story, y'all, to Erica. How about this story? If the state of Alabama sends you, speaking of driver's licenses, everybody check yours when your expiration is, because they're not going to send you a message before it expires. They're only going to send you a message, I think, is 90 days after it expires where you pay the additional fee. If this is a government working for us, wouldn't it, if they're going to send the mailer out in the first place, wouldn't it be better to send a mail out that says, hey, next month or in 90 days or in 2 months, whatever your license expires, you need to get down and renew it, versus wait until it expires and saying, hey, by the way, your license expired?
Yeah, I don't think there should be a fee for renewing it at any time, even if it's expired. I mean, that's just crazy to me.
I'm sure somebody in Montgomery can say, well, those late fees pay for the kids, lunches at whatever school or something like that, and try to make me feel badly about it. But if this is government for the people, by the people, okay, government, tell us before the thing expires. I mean, they let you know when your tag and stuff, you know what month it is, and they're sending you memos and all that stuff to get your tag renewed. How about your driver's license? Hey, Alabama driver, in 2 months, your driver's license is going to expire. You need to get down to the place and get it renewed. If they're going to send a letter, send that one.
Just for you, I'm going to talk to some lawmakers about that and see what they think. Maybe they will feel the same way.
There we go. I appreciate that. See how that works, y'all? Now I've got Erica on the job, and I can just sit back and watch the wheels turn. All right. I want to run through one of your stories at 1819 News, top stories that gripped Alabama in 2025. You started off here with deadly snakes. I had forgot about the deadly snake story, and then you went through government efficiency and losses on this. Talk about what your recap, just a general recap of the year.
Yeah, let's start at the bottom of the list with number 5, and that was the Alabama husband and father of two making national headlines as he fought for his life after an unprovoked hatchet attack in Arizona. And this was Jacob Couch, and unfortunately, he did lose his life. He was in Arizona. Him and his wife were on a trip to Los Angeles. They had been there for almost a year just trying to get over the loss of their stillborn son. Very sad story. And so him and his wife were sitting at a bus stop when a man came over to them, unprovoked, allegedly. Daniel Michael is the suspect's name. And just they got in a little tiff, and he came back when Jacob Couch was bent down to get his things because they were going to just leave the area. And he attacked him with a hatchet. They said it actually nearly decapitated him, but they rushed him to the hospital. They put him on life support, and unfortunately, he lost his life. And it was a very, very sad story. A GoFundMe account so far has raised more than $80,000 for the couple's daughter. And so this was something that really gripped not only Alabama, but the nation. This was a nationwide story. This sweet, innocent man lost his life to absolute, just horrific violence that was definitely unprovoked.
Yeah, and you, sadly, you stick with that at number four here.
Yeah. Obviously, the story about Ella Cook was just as tragic. She was a Mountain Brook native that was one of two killed at Brown University. That story actually happened in December, and it was such a, I don't want to say popular, that's like a positive word, but it was so disturbing to people that people shared this story over and over again, trying to figure out what the motive in this shooting, what it was, why somebody would do this. Ella Cook was beloved in Mountain Brook and all the way to Brown University. People who were around her just really loved her. And so this story got, even though it happened on December 13th, this story was one of our top five stories this year, and I just really wish that did not have to be a story at all.
Agreed. Positive when we move to number three here, what I've been calling the Alabamification of federal offices out there, whether we talk about Space Command or this one here, FBI, and what Senator Tuberville did.
Yeah, in my head, I've kind of made up this hashtag, bring it to Bama.
Okay, I like it.
If we have it out there, hashtag bring it to Bama. If it needs a new home, hashtag bring it to Bama. And that's kind of what U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville said after he took a tour of Redstone Arsenal. They were outside. They were out behind Redstone Arsenal discussing the need for the National Academy, the FBI's National Academy program, to move from Quantico to Huntsville. And they were like, oh, here's a perfect spot. This is a no-brainer. We should do this. Now, so far, that plan has not taken shape, but they're still evaluating what to do next with that. And you just never know with all the changes in the department. You know, we don't know what's going to happen now, but at the time, Dan Bongino and Cash Patel were both on board with this idea. They saw it as a great opportunity to move that facility to Huntsville. So we'll see what happens. And in the meantime, we'll just, you know, appreciate that we do have this National Academy training program. This is a program that almost all police departments in Alabama have sent someone to this National Academy training. Even sheriff's deputies go to this. And it's a really big deal when you graduate from this National Academy. It's a really intense training and something to really be proud of. So it would be great to hashtag bring it to Bama.
Going to number two here, this one, I remember the story, and I mean, it stayed in the news cycle for a while, but the amount of money here, I guess I was ignorant to. You're talking about the Doge canceling the U.S. Fish and Wildlife office in Fairhope, the lease there.
Yes, this was a big story because at the time when Doge started making cuts, we were just all scrambling to see, like, how is this going to impact us locally? What in Alabama is going to be, you know, cut? What's going to happen? And so this was one of the first ones in March. They kind of did some digging and realized that if they canceled that lease in Fairhope, it would save taxpayers $707,922. So that was one of the things that they cut, and that it was the lease for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service office. They still serve the area, but they
still have a Daphne office. Yeah, they still have the main office in Daphne, right?
Yes, and that's where they're kind of operating out of. So it did save taxpayer dollars. So, you know,
I wonder how many years that was over. Do you know how many years that $707,000 plus was over? Because I'm trying to figure out what we were paying in rent. I mean, I know I'm paying a ton, but man.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like that year or, I mean, that would be kind of hard to fathom.
Yeah, I don't think it's 1 year. It can't be. I mean, if it is, there's a story of stories.
Yeah, possibly just the remainder of the contract that was in place at the time.
All right, so that's some real numbers, as we were just talking about Doge a little earlier in the hour. And then your number one here, how is it? I mean, you're probably right. You know the clicks and all this stuff, but how is a, we get like one snake bite death a decade in Alabama, right? I mean, more people will die in a year from, I don't know, a shingle off a roof or something than die from a snake bite. But this stuff captures the attention of people.
Apparently. I mean, every year when I do a snake story, I always try to remind people when it starts to get warmer that the slithery suckers are all out and about and they're going to.
Well, because that's where they live, by the way. That's, I mean, they, yeah. Like, people say, well, the snakes are out. They're always out. They're just doing snake stuff. But go ahead, because everybody is scared of all the snakes slithering around.
It is, but it's also very important for people to realize that, you know, when they're moving things, they need to be careful, especially when it gets warmer, because those snakes are having babies, and they're more active. So you're more prone to being bitten, whether it's a venomous snake or non-venomous. It's good to educate people about this because everybody worries so much. People start posting videos of, oh, look at this snake yes. I found, you know. And so people get worried, and that's why they care. People do care about this a lot. A lot of snake enthusiasts really just shared this story. This is an interesting one. This guy, Frankie Ferguson, lives in Baldwin County, and he statewide does Alabama snake removers. He's very popular online, and he actually was bitten. And so he survived, but it was extremely painful for him. I talked to him after the snake bite, and he wanted to offer advice to people, just like, you know, I was trying to do. And he said, this was avoidable. I made a mistake. I was being foolish. Don't do what I did. I'm an expert here. I know all about snakes, and I still got bitten. And he had to undergo some extremely long, prolonged treatments for this. He could have lost his finger. He was bitten on the thumb, I believe. He could have lost that finger. A venomous snake bite can cause a heart attack. There's all kinds of things that can do to you. So, you know, he really wanted to warn people, and he just did a fabulous job talking to me through the pain. He was in so much pain when I talked to him, and he came out of it. He's fine now, and he's back to, you know, wrangling snakes.
Good stuff. All right. People want to reach out to you. Of course, your stories, this a lot more. They can read. You'll want to go read Erica's story about what's happening at Government Plaza. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. But that's up there, a whole bunch more, and this year in retrospective on 1819news.com. And if they want to reach out and just wish you a happy new year on social media, where would they go?
Yeah, you can go to X, and I'm at Erica T News. You can also email me, erica.thomas@1819news.com, and don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. You'll get our top stories every day, and you can become a member to support us.
I love it. Thank you. Happy New Year to you and the dogs and the bird, and I will see you in 20... I'm not going to do that to you. Oh, yeah, I am. I'll see you in 2026.
All righty, then. Thank you. God bless.
All right, there goes Erica from 1819news.com. Let's see, get a couple texts in here when we come back. And you can keep them coming at 343-0106. 343-251. That might be one of my New Year's resolutions not to screw up. 251-343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this New Year's Eve edition of the show. By the way, you know, we were talking about, I think it was yesterday or the day before on the show, talking about the Spanish Fort Mayor Bass, who'd put that video out where people had just thrown all the garbage near the dumpsters, like they were full, but they kept throwing them. And then I got into kind of a rant about, you live out in the country and you see people driving around with a truck full of stuff. You know they're not out there, just they're trying to find somewhere just to throw their junk in the woods, right? Just got a word from out here. I don't think I'm gonna bust their cover. But out here in my general area and a place people dump, I just got a spotter, a family spotter just told me they've got a little, they're waiting for them. Maybe they know this is the day that most people are, you know, going to go throw their Christmas garbage away on somebody else's property, and they're watching for them. I like it. I'll be giving y'all updates if I get them. All right, to the text line here, CB Carl said, Sean, I had fun talking to the guys this morning. Just wanted to wish you and yours, as well as your listeners, a safe and happy New Year celebration. Also, we're looking forward to another year of your informative entertainment and y'all's continuing support of the veterans community. Thanks to you all. Well, thanks to y'all, CB Carl and Mrs. CB Carl. We appreciate y'all very, very much. A named texter here, said, has anyone mentioned that the EMTs in the city of New Orleans will be wearing military helmets tonight to protect them from falling bullets? Is that part of their standard issue for New Year's? That's a testament. It's the story. You hear Chad Petrie updated it on WKRG, but it's MPD saying, and we'll save probably some of this for next hour, but MPD saying, don't shoot up. And I mean, I've talked about this. I talked about this when I used to be in rock and roll radio, before talk radio. I mean, they've talked about this 25 years or more. The idea of shooting around into the air, like you're in a Western movie or something, when you're in a city, I don't know. I mean, do I have to hash it out how stupid it is? But then, like, this message, like, well, listen, fireworks are legal in Mobile, which, remember that whole hubbub, we'll talk about that next hour, but fireworks are legal to be shot New Year's Eve, so no reason to shoot your guns. Is that the way we make the argument? Listen, because we're going to let you shoot your fireworks, so there's no reason to squeeze off some rounds. How about this? Don't be shooting your gun in there, whether you had fireworks or not. How about that? How about that crazy idea? Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Terry said the Fairhope office was for the Deepwater Horizon response. Well, therefore, it probably was charged high, wasn't it, Terry? That's and I wonder, but that $707,000, Terry, over what was that projected rent for 5 years, 10 years? I wonder what that is. Thank you. From the Mariner. Thank you, Mariner. Said, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family. Thanks for all y'all do for us listeners. Man, I am no joke. No, yeah, I appreciate y'all. I mean, we get to do this. Street works both ways because we got a great audience and lots of you. So thank you. Thank you for doing your part, Mariner. Listen to the show. All right. Ella says, Sean, I lived in Georgia for a few years before moving back to God's country in South Baldwin. And one thing that worked really well there was the driver's license renewal process. One can renew online, in person, by mail. Expiration dates automatically set to expire on your birthday. And as long as you're over 20 and younger than 64 or something along those lines, your license lasts for 8 years. Bring this to Bama. This is Ella. I like it a lot. So there is, and if Erica is still listening, so there is an example right there across our eastern border in Georgia. And if y'all didn't hear it earlier, I was just, the system for your, like, when you get your license renewed, right? So you're going to get a letter from Nick Petranga. You're going to get, here's your licenses. Here's what needs to be updated. Here's your month, right? You do your stuff. The driver's license system, I don't have an expired license, so I'm not ranting for my own benefit, but I know this is a thing. It often places, I got carded a couple times this week. It was charming. A place will card you, will say, hey, by the way, your license expires X, whatever. They just remind folks, which is a nice thing. But the state doesn't. The state only sends you a message, I think it's 90 days after it's expired. So instead of being proactive, once again, this is our government that's working for us. The reason I have no problem with them running radar and speed enforcement is because that's a public safety issue, right? Not because I think they need to get money from the citizens to fund things. I think it's a thing we believe in as people, like you can't drive 150 miles an hour through town, and there has to be an enforcement mechanism to do that. Okay. But on the driver's license part of it, if you're working for us, the people, and you're going to send a mailer anyway, all right, you're going to send something through the mail, send something that says, hey, coming up in 2 months, your driver's license will expire, versus, hey, your driver's license expired a month and a half ago. It just seems like if they're going to send something out, why not do it proactively? And Ella says that's what they do in Georgia. Plus, What about that? What about if your license lasts for 8 years, your driver's license, if you're in that window she was talking about, I think, between 20 and 64 or something like that, your license will go for 8 years. I mean, there's a lot of things that are, you know, I say this all the time during legislative session in Montgomery. I'm like, hey, y'all, we don't have to invent the wheel. Let's look at the other states. The beauty of our republic in the 50 states is you can kind of look around and say, who's doing something that we're not doing that's efficient? Oh, they are. Let's just copy off their paper. All right, we'll talk about that when we come back, and a whole lot more. Hour number two of Midday Mobile next.